Good morning and welcome to the Onondaga Pathways to Career Community of Practice meeting. We are just about ready to start the meeting. I am doing a final audio check. As a reminder, please mute your phone lines and your microphones when you're not talking. This will reduce the interference from outside voices. Mira, whenever you're ready, we can begin.
Good. Thank you. Great. Thank you. I'm sure a few more people will be joining us, but I will begin with a little introduction and overview. So welcome to our Pathways to Careers Community of Practice, as Celeste just said. This voice you hear, my name is Mira Adya. I'm the Director of Research for the Burton Blatt Institute and the person who's been emailing many of you. I'm so glad you've been able to join us, and I will be facilitating today's meeting, as well as doing some presentation. So we are very glad to have you join us today, learn more about our Onondaga Pathways to Careers project, and then share your work, hopefully, on some of these other Pathways to Careers projects that we know are getting started around the country this year, and other related work that you're doing, as there's so much relevant happening today. Today's meeting will be an introductory one where we will provide an overview of our project, some context for these kinds of projects. We will discuss elements and features of a pathways approach, learn a little bit about you, and then set an agenda for future meetings for this community of practice. Right before we get started with the substantive portion of our meeting, I do just want to quickly review some of the information and frequently asked questions regarding the hosting system that we're using. You might be participating by phone, or you may be using our web conferencing system, which is Blackboard Collaborate. It's making it possible for us to conduct this webinar over the internet, and just about any computer with an internet connection should be able to use it. However, we recognize, and I think we've had a little bit already this morning, of some technical issues. So if you can continue to check through your system, please do so. Our IT staff, I had copied on the original invitation email. They are available to continue to troubleshoot behind the scenes if you would like. If you haven't seen already, I did also send an updated email shortly before our meeting got started with the PowerPoints. So if you are joining by phone, you can still see the PowerPoint presentation. It should be in your email. Today's session is being recorded for everyone who has joined after the recording began, just so you know. This is so that we can archive this meeting and have it available for everyone and for those who maybe have missed it. Also, all participants are having their phones and microphones muted, but if you can also check on your side and mute them, this will help prevent background noise and make sure we have a clear presentation. If you have questions, we do welcome those. We want this to be very interactive and participatory. Please do note them in the chat box, which should be in the bottom left-hand side of your screen, and we will be monitoring those and addressing them either as they come up or towards the end when we have a discussion section, and we will of course also open it up to folks on the phone who can't type in their question. So at this time we will start to begin. We are going to ask that if you notice the system being sluggish, sometimes I might start to sound like one of the chipettes. That means there's sort of a backlog of audio information and then your computer is trying to catch up quickly. It may help if you close all the other applications running on your system. So with that, I will begin the formal presentation. As you can see from our title slide, this is the Onondaga Pathways to Careers demonstration project at Onondaga Community College that we wanted to tell you more about today. And it is through this project that we are establishing this community of practice, which is meant to be a nationwide community of practice on pathways to careers and related projects. If we could move to the next slide. I'd like to do some welcoming and introductions of the presenters that we have today. From the Onondaga Pathways to Careers project, which we'll call the OPC project from here on, we have its project leadership, Rebecca Hoda-Kears at Onondaga Community College, and William Myhill, who is the project director, but at the last minute has been unable to join us. He may connect in later, and we hope to hear from William. Rebecca will present some background on the OPC project. In introduction of the Community of Practice, or COP, we have Michael Morris, who will be leading our Community of Practice, as well as myself, who will be supporting Michael in this work. So I will turn it over to Rebecca, who will take over and give you some background on the OPC project.
So hello everyone. I'll start by laying some of the groundwork as we start to frame and talk about the federal government priorities. The first one is to expand capacity of community colleges to respond to workforce needs. And then also prepare youth with disabilities with the necessary skills for jobs in high growth, high demand industries, and then promote community-wide partnerships of institutions of higher education, workforce partners, youth-serving agencies, and organizations serving individuals with disabilities. Involve local employers in curriculum design and development, use industry recognize credentials to provide participants with needed skills. And then the final that we have listed here is to utilize ODEF's guideposts for success as project framework. And I believe we'll be getting into that in more depth at a different point, because that's really the foundation of what we're doing. So just to talk a little bit about locally what we're doing as far as the OPC project, and we have a partnership with our college, Onondaga Community College, SUNY, and Syracuse University, and the Syracuse City School District, as well as the public workforce system, regional economic development, and disability service agents in the city of Syracuse. We have a demonstration project to determine what works to help young people with disabilities acquire the skills, degrees, and credentials for high wage, high skills employment so that these effective practices can be replicated at other community colleges nationwide. And this is one of the two funded sites. Also as an overview, we believe we have a transformational approach. We want to align IEP transition planning with programs and services that support access, completion, and subsequent employment to four OPC educational and employment pathways in priority high-growth industries identified by Central New York Regional Economic Development Council. So we have four major programs that we're focusing on right now. We have advanced manufacturing mechanical technology. We're also working with our HIT, health information technology, our CIS programs, computer information systems, and our electrical technology fields. So within all of this, we have five central goals that we're trying to integrate into this project. One is capacity building to develop and implement coordinated, comprehensive, sustainable systems of support that promotes access, success, and career entry for individuals with disabilities. Two, career exploration and educational access, increasing access and enrollment among youth and young adults with disabilities in the four targeted programs that I just mentioned. Three, educational attainment, increasing persistence and completion rates, which is a focus at every institution. Four, employment, increasing living wage employment. And five, dissemination, to enable other community colleges to adopt the OPC model. So number five is one of the things that we're working on today as we start to develop our community of practice. Another key feature for the next slide is transition planning and support. One of the challenges that we face are only 27% of students with disabilities normally go on to college, compared to 60% of those without. So we can see a very big difference between those populations. Also, a lack of information about college admissions and financial aid processes, and a lack of clarity about different levels of support from secondary to post-secondary institutions. So a few of the things that we are doing with this project is we've developed a Syracuse City School District partnership that includes career awareness, IEP transition planning, early awareness of the OPC employment pathways. So part of that is some targeted marketing that we've done, developing materials to clarify everything that we're able to offer. We provide career awareness activities in high schools to support the transition planning process, assist with financial aid applications, and orientation for all OPC students. So this is all well underway here. Another component is educational access and success. Some of the challenges associated with that are supports for psychosocial adjustment, academic development, and self-advocacy of individuals. There's also a lack of clarity about different levels of support from secondary to post-secondary institutions, as there is with the transition planning. So some of the things that we are doing that we will get in to greater detail at different points in our correspondence with each other. We provide career assessments, education planning, social literacy, mandatory advisement, work-based learning, tutoring, adaptive technology, leadership development, and wraparound services. So when we talk about employment pathways, some of the challenges are the students often enter college with undefined career goals. All of us that work at institutions, that's something that's pretty common, but it can be even more common for individuals with disabilities. And students with disabilities are underrepresented in career and technical education programs at OCC, and we expect that to be at other institutions as well. Some of the things that we will do and are starting to do already is provide early exposure to technical programs through concurrent enrollment courses, early college partnerships with the Syracuse City School District, and a new school for technology within the Syracuse City Schools District. We're working on an employer-based curriculum development, which is really exciting. We have some articulation agreements forged with local BOCES and International Brotherhood for Electrical Workers, and over 50 other colleges and universities. So as we start to work towards capacity building, we really have a coordinated and integrated approach with all community and workforce partners, cross-institutional leadership team to mitigate administrative barriers and leverage existing infrastructure. This has been, quite honestly, a lot of work, but I think we're really, really making a lot of strides. As we go into things, once again, we'll provide more context and detail on this piece. The community of practice that we're working on right now with other community colleges will be recruited to participate in and contribute to virtual meetings for collaboration and resource sharing to improve education and employment pathways for youth and young adults with disabilities. And then finally, professional development for inclusive pedagogy and universal design provided for educational agencies, service providers, and employers. That's part of what we've spent a lot of time in developing the infrastructure here. And so we'll be excited to tell you about some of the internal audits and the work that we've done on campus to really fortify the infrastructure for this. And so let's talk about OPC year one key activities. There are six of them that we'll focus on: building community partner relationships, developing outreach and recruitment resources and activities, surveying campus need for assistive technology and barrier removal, ultimately enrolling OPC students, that's the exciting part, preparing supplemental hands-on training, and providing individualized case management to the students. And then I'm going to turn it over to Mira, who will talk to us a little bit about the key challenges that we've been facing in year one.
Thank you, Rebecca. So just as a reminder and for context for everybody who may not be aware, for our project, years run from October 1 to September 30th. So we are coming on midway between our year two. And we have students who, since the fall of 2015, have been enrolled in the program. And I think we're at about 45-ish, anywhere between 40 to 50 students right now. So key challenges then that we've experienced over year one and sliding into a little bit of year two certainly have been establishing the formal agreements that need to be established with partners. As part of the proposal writing process, which I'm sure many of the other Pathways projects that are joining us today can attest to, you certainly reach out to partners and get their buy-in and their collaboration and their support, even formally documented. But it's a whole other thing to start negotiating the details of those partnerships, establishing memorandums of agreement or understanding and other partnership type mechanisms. And you often have multiple bureaucracies coming together, and sometimes the challenges can be nothing more than administrative and time delayed. OPC set aside its entire first year to establishing its infrastructure and getting ramped up and doing the recruitment so that students would come in the fall of 2015 in year two and hit the ground running, and what we needed to be in place for them would be there. That is still, a year is a good amount of time, but it's still a challenge when it comes to bureaucracies, as we all know. So certainly that's one challenge that we have negotiated and navigated and can share more about, as I know many other programs are in their year one this year and doing the same thing. We are a demonstration project. I believe many others are as well. And as a demonstration project, we conduct project evaluation formally for funding auspices, but I would say also in order to track our program's success, in order to understand whether or not we're putting things together the way we intended and they're having the impact we meant for them to, even through year one and two, it's important for us to be able to identify information about the students. Where are they coming in from? Which recruitment pipelines are we having success with, and which ones aren't we having success with? When students are identifying needs for accommodation, are they able to take those requests throughout the college as they navigate their educational pathway, and are those needs being met? So beyond just formally for the funder, it's really important to the everyday functioning of the program that we can track these kinds of things and then immediately make improvements where necessary. And one of the things that we found is that whenever you have large institutions at work and then multiple institutions collaborating together, everybody has their own mechanism for record keeping, and putting that all together and getting it all together in a usable way, an understandable way, a timely way can sometimes be a challenge. So that is one thing that we continue to navigate as a part of this project, but it is coming together, and what we found is that identifying key members for work groups that meet regularly around this issue has been particularly helpful. And then, of course, this is it's a new project. It's a new way of doing business, so to speak. And so it's a transformational, it's a sea change that's taking place right now within our community for students with disabilities. And for them to become aware of, confident in themselves and in the program, and avail themselves of the program and the opportunities that are being offered, it can take time. So we had a very lofty goal for our local community and district of 125 students per year, starting immediately in year one. And as I mentioned, we're about a third of the way there. So I think we've done fairly well, but recruiting students and getting up to our goal has presented itself to be a bit of a challenge. And before I continue on, I just want to pause and see if William has joined us and wanted to add anything about OPC. Okay, I heard some dings, but it was not William that joined on the phone. So I will still pause and see if there are any clarification questions from the audience. The next step will be to introduce federal background and the community of practice. So before switching tracks, any questions? All righty. Then we can move forward to the next slide and the next phase of our presentation and talk about this community of practice. So this really is a formal, larger kickoff to our community of practice. We have mentioned it in other venues before, but this is really where we are now bringing together people who have an interest in this project, who may be implementing similar projects, or who are doing work with the educational systems, with the workforce system and communities that can bring to bear expertise. As we see LEOA get implemented and we see others beginning to think about this kind of approach. Our community of practice will be a capacity-enhancing, we hope, collaboration tool beyond just the webinars. There will be other ways that we will all collaborate together. To assist with our dissemination of the project learning as well as your project learning, to learn from you, to share with you, and achieve our common goals, which are enhanced inclusion of students with disabilities in education programs and training programs, all with an aim to lead to career pathways in locally relevant, high-growth industries. And as we mentioned with OPC, we had a very strong focus on that not only are these increased employment opportunities, but these really are career pathways and they're living wage jobs. not low-wage jobs where all too often individuals with disabilities can be tracked. And we want this to be transformational from an early on point in the educational pathway. So we want to see the process for IEPs changed so that consideration of career pathways and local opportunities are considered in high school, in middle school if possible, and students really are put on a path to success. So we'd like to share and discuss openly all strategies, all challenges, interventions, learning that we're having, and we really hope to learn from you as well and have a very participatory, stimulating discussion. We don't want this to be a one-way presentation venue. Others that are joining us that I know are with us today, and we hope to increase representation over time. We have representation from other New York community colleges, CUNY, which are City University of New York institutions. We have Georgia's Vocational Rehabilitation Agency joining us. I know they are looking forward very much to working across this community of practice as they put together their program and fill in the details. They are in their formative first year as an RSA-funded careers Pathways to Careers project. We also have two other Pathways to Career projects. We have Kentucky VR joining us, and we have Nebraska VR joining us. There were four funded projects, Virginia as well, and we hope to have them join us. Today we also have representatives from the Disability Employment Initiative TA system, Technical Assistance Programs and Projects, and we hope to have representatives from the individual Pathways to Careers projects that are being implemented across the country there as well, and many, many others. If anyone on the phone has an inkling that there is someone doing good work that could be relevant, or there is someone that might just be interested in some of the information or all of the information, please do refer them. Put anyone you can in touch with me, and I'm happy to connect with them and get them everything they need and get them joining our group. Have I left anyone out? All right. Well, looking forward to this group and increasing this group. So I will turn it over now to Michael Morris, who I believe has joined us via the phone bridge, and he will talk about elements of career pathways, features of them, and our community of practice in greater detail.
Thank you, Mira. I do think this is really an opportunity to bridge multiple efforts at a federal agency level, which flow funds down into the states. So we've had two rounds of the Disability Employment Initiative with a focus on career pathways. We have the two projects that were funded, as Mira mentioned, just over a year, well, year and a half ago, almost, the project at OCC and in Syracuse, New York, and then there is a second project in Tennessee, and then there are the four RSA projects, Georgia, Kentucky, Nebraska, and Virginia. And I do think there's a lot we can learn from each other as all states begin just in a few months implementation of the Workforce Innovation Opportunity Act. We wanted to sort of define what we see as six key elements of career pathways. The first, which has already been talked about, is the building of cross-agency partnerships, both in terms of mandated partners within the workforce development system, but others that impact the disability population, Social Security, Medicaid, could be the state agency providing mental health services, as well as the agency involved with other people with disabilities, including Centers for Independent Living. We know that a key part of career pathways is the active engagement of different industry sectors who are identifying where are the job growth opportunities in the future, what are the critical skill areas that need to be identified, and then how can community colleges and other training providers build the credentialing and certification programs that creates the talent pipeline for employers. The third is designing those education programs and training programs to be inclusive, to have the necessary supports for individuals with disabilities, whether those are issues around accessibility of websites and online learning and other supports that will enable students with disabilities to be successful. Number four is about identifying funding needs and resources so that those students who are brought into a career pathway, into these educational and training programs, have the supports that they need that may be supports provided by vocational rehabilitation. It may be supports provided through the education or training provider. It could be other funding streams that are going to make the difference to make sure we have a high completion rate of students entering these education certification programs. Number five is to align policies and programs for effective and meaningful participation of individuals with disabilities. So we're very interested in customer flow, the individual, whether they start in VR or they start in the visit to an American Job Center and other parts of the workforce development system, or it's a student that starts and is already enrolled in a community college or other institution of higher education, what is the flow of that individual to get the supports they need to build the skills, build the credentials that they need to be an effective candidate, applicant for the jobs, these jobs of the future. And then number six is, how are we going about in each of our projects to measure performance? And that performance is both at an individual level in terms of credentials, educational programs completed, but it's also about, of course, employment outcomes. And how are we going to look at measuring systems change, the level of collaboration, the level of cooperation, the braiding potentially of resources to make sure that the career pathways truly doesn't leave students, young people with disabilities behind, but they have every opportunity, equal opportunity to participate and succeed in a career pathway that responds to their interests and their talents and abilities. We know that in terms of features of career pathways, there isn't a single entry point, as I just mentioned. We need to learn more and build effective customer flow. As Mira mentioned, it's about building relationships and formalizing partnership cooperative agreements between the employers, workforce development system, community colleges, vocational rehabilitation, and other support systems. We know it's about looking at assessment of interests and abilities, not just in traditional, but maybe in new ways, in helping an individual discover their talents and interests, and how to see whether that can match with where the skill growth needs to take place in the future. We know we need to align with skill needs of industry so that the career pathway is not just about getting a certificate or completing an educational program, but it really does lead to jobs and jobs that have career focuses. And then we need to make sure that we have aligned and brought together the support resources so that student with a disability can succeed. We know that the needs of business and workers drive workforce solutions. So we as is described in the new Workforce Innovation Opportunity Act, there really are the two customers. The employer is a customer, business, and the job seeker is a customer. And we need to look at within career pathways how both are being supported and having their needs met, and that increasingly skilled workers are developed with the support of the workforce development system. In terms of a definition of career pathways, it's about aligning the skill needs of industries in the economy of the state or in the regional economy involved. It's preparing an individual to be successful in any of a full range of secondary or post-secondary education options, including apprenticeships. It includes counseling to support an individual in achieving the individual's education and career goals. It includes, as appropriate, education offered concurrently with and in the same context as other workforce preparation activities and training for a specific occupation or occupational cluster. And then, finally, it's about organizing education, training, and other services to meet the particular needs of the individual with a disability in a way that accelerates the educational and career advancement of the individual to the extent practicable. And it's also about enabling an individual to attain, even before you look at these credentialing programs, if they haven't achieve a secondary school diploma or its recognized equivalent at least one recognized post-secondary credential, helping the individual enter or advance within a specific occupation or occupational cluster. So those are some of the elements that I know as the four projects funded by RSA get going. These are going to be critical issues for you. These have been critical issues for OCC and students with disabilities as they've been enrolled, working with the workforce development system and some of the other collaborations that are part of that project. What we see and hope we can do and want to talk about is how this community of practice can serve these multiple projects, including the RSA-funded projects, the ODEP-funded projects, and also for the degree and level of interest, as many of the DEI projects that are certainly focused on career pathways. We know, as we have been saying multiple times today, it's about building these partnerships, developing, nurturing, growing these partnerships, employers, the workforce development boards being involved, the workforce professionals, the education and training providers, what other community partners and other service delivery systems need to be a part of the customer flow. We want to look at resource mapping, is what public and private resources are you bringing into your project? What you're doing may be helpful to some of the other projects that will be joining on this call. And we want to learn more about how employers and business and industry are engaged in identifying the skill competencies and then matching those into training, education and training programs that make sense. We want ultimately, this won't be happening at the front end, but to develop and validate career ladders, to look at the flexibility in the education and training methods that are employed, and to understand more what type of reasonable accommodations were needed, were necessary, so that students with disabilities stay in the educational program, that they don't drop out, that they are getting the supports that they need. Other topics we certainly want to look at is what changes in policy or program design become evident based on the students becoming enrolled and getting the supports that they needed. And we want to look at the performance measurements as required under the Workforce Innovation Opportunity Act with both the youth and adult programs, but where we truly are seeing gains in people's educational attainment and also in terms of employment outcomes. Ultimately, what this really learning community is about is it's about peer learning. I don't think there are any questions that should be considered off limits. No one should feel intimidated that, well, I'm not sure, you know, this is a good question. There are no bad questions. Hopefully together we can be involved in problem solving together that challenges that are identified in your individual projects, as well as also learn from each other in identification of promising strategies. And then as we get multiple years out, is how do we do this in more than the small scale we're working? How do we sustain what are the gains for youth and young adults with disabilities, gaining new levels of educational attainment, but of course also gaining the career pathway to jobs that really have advancement potential. So that's what we would like to do. We know that the four VR projects have already, I think with RSA, I think you've had some group calls. We know DEI and the DEI training and TA team has to really manage the support and assistance to particularly the last two rounds of DEI state projects that have been awarded. But what we are hoping is we don't necessarily want to take the place of anything else, although if people think that maybe this one learning community can serve all these projects, we're open to that. We just want to be an open forum. We need to decide how often we would like to meet. I might suggest maybe every other month, but want to really open back up to you in terms of how to make this something meaningful, not burdensome, but where we can share challenges, problem solve together, and also learn about promising strategies. So let me stop there and see, since I'm doing this on the phone, I don't have a computer screen in front of me. Are there, Mira, are there any questions that have been put forward while I've been speaking? Or if not, let me just open to
there
questions.
Aren't any questions in the chat box so far, so let's just open the lines. Yes?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
Ah, yeah, I'm not able to mute my phone, so I've been trying to be quiet. This is Helga Gilbert. I'm from the Kentucky Office for the Blind.
Great.
And we are one of those Career Pathway grants, one of the four states. So I, when you ask how you think this learning community could be helpful, I just jotted down a couple things that came to mind immediately. And one was in the sharing of materials that we might all produce in working with the high school age participant and in recruiting them. I think also something that I'm really interested in is understanding how you all are thinking about having a web presence. And we have not had that phone call yet, the four states.
Okay.
We're planning it for March 1st.
Okay. Okay. Just as Michael reacting is, I think that a web-based space would be great, where we could post, so the first part of your comments, we could post materials from the different projects. There's probably, you know, probably a lot of shortcuts from, you know, things already, particularly the OCC project, the Syracuse project, is a year ahead of the four RSA-funded projects. And the DEI-funded states are in different stages in terms of trying to look at what they're doing related to individuals with disabilities and career pathways. But recruitment of students has been, as was mentioned today, it's a challenge. And that's probably a topic, you know, we could focus on you know, perhaps the next call, because without the students, without the pipeline, we're not going to have success. And so I know with OCC, there isn't one way recruitment is being done. It much has to do with the partnerships and relationships being built with the schools, with ER, with the other parts of the workforce development system. Learning more about what strategies are being used, which seem to be, are some more effective than others, is a really important topic. I will tell you a second one related to that is just because you get the student enrolled doesn't mean the student stays in. And this is the whole set of issues around supports, not all of which relate to education, but other needs that the students have, which may cause them to drop out, other things going on in their lives. And so recruitment and retention, I think, are two really, really important topics at the front end. Anybody else, or comment or question?
Michael, this is Alex Guilty.
Oh, hi, Alex. Yes.
Hi. And for others involved, I'm with the DEI Technical Assistance Project, but I just wanted to mention or wonder if there's been outreach to the many DRCs, Disability Resource Coordinators, that were installed through the New York State DEI Project and that are often still in place, being supported through the Ticket to Work revenues that has been in place in the state. Secondly, I wanted to also mention that ETA maintains a innovation and opportunity network website, which is designed very similarly along your lines in terms of sharing best practices on a peer-to-peer level, state-to-state, and providing examples of successful strategies. So it may not be something that you would want to look to at, you know, maybe at this point, but it certainly would be an avenue for dissemination as you move forward.
Yeah. And Michael, this is Miranda, and hi, Alex. I'm glad that you mentioned all of that. Michael, I do want to just let you know I'm actually going to be out in New York next week meeting with the Round 6 projects, our very first meeting with those folks. And we'll also be having a meeting with the Round 4 leadership. So I've been thinking about that while looking at this presentation today.
Yeah, that's we can talk offline. I know New York, with its many rounds of DEI funding, moves around where they focus. But I think Round 6 is not, four?
Capital Region and HMO, and actually all three rounds for New York are adult focused, so they're not our youth projects. Not that this information isn't also applicable and helpful to adults.
Right. But absolutely. And back to Alex's comment, Central New York Works. William probably would be able to talk more about it, but I think they were a part, I could get the rounds mixed up, but Miranda, I think they were a part of Round 4. Is that right?
Which area again?
One and four.
So Syracuse.
Syracuse.
Yeah,
I think that was one. It would have been one.
Yeah. But there had been some engagement with them. But yeah, it really, I mean, with the whole shift of the Workforce Innovation Opportunity Act, both for VR and the larger system, this is the big, you know, this is the big shift from the Workforce Investment Act to the Workforce Innovation Opportunity Act. Career Pathways is a major change, you have a new, you know, you have a new definition for the first time of career services. You have a move away from sequential delivery of services, and it really be interesting to see. I think what all this is about is making sure that whether it's youth or adults are not left out of the opportunities that are now being created with community paths, you know, with career pathways. So I think important, and I think things that we perhaps learn through, if the groups agree to perhaps meet on something like this every 2 months, we can certainly bring it over into the Innovation Opportunity Network, the ION network that ETA has. And I know we've talked about really populating more promising practices related to individuals with disabilities on that site as well. Anybody else with thoughts or comments? I'm just going to ask, I'm curious in terms of with Georgia, Kentucky, or Nebraska, who I think are on the call, whether, you know, again, the project is so new, but does the issue of recruitment of students and retention of students in career pathways programs, does that resonate with you as a, certainly as a key topic that we might focus on for next time?
This is Helga. Yes, I think that would be a great topic for next time. I think that retainment, you know, so we've had a brief, since the whole project is brief, but we've had a new collaboration with an innovative program in our Kentucky Career and Technical Ed system. It's in most of the colleges around the state, and it's Accelerating Opportunities. And Accelerating Opportunities allows a student who's still earning a GED to also start taking courses, and you have an adult ed teacher in the room along with a technical teacher. And then it provides some more of those outside supports that are so important. And when we learned about this program, I thought it was really perfect for helping us in our endeavors and an important resource to team up with. Well, in sort of working and getting to know them better, I see all the challenges that they also have in retaining students. And I like to call it, we've piloted the pilot. We have one student from Louisville's Charles McDowell Center for the Blind, who's actually enrolled this semester through Accelerating Opportunities and into one of their career pathways, which is a health pathway. And so I've just had so much more insight into that retention issue. And so I would love to talk about that more, because I think that that's what these projects are all about, you know, what are those barriers that keep stopping us?
Right. Excellent. Anybody else?
Good morning. This is Steve.
Yeah, this is Zach Harder from Nebraska.
Yes, Zach.
We are currently reaching out to 1,200 former vocational rehabilitation clients. That's the main focus right now, at least for this first year. We're not reaching out to doing any recruitment to the high schools quite yet. So just updating you on that.
Right. And that's an interesting approach. So you're going back into your own case files to identify potential individuals that would then go into the educational programs you have identified.
Correct. We have a list of 1,200 individuals who formerly closed successful with VR in the last 3 years in those areas that we're working in, and we're reaching out and recruiting them folks right now.
Yeah, I think that's a great strategy. Excellent.
This is Dale Arnold with Georgia. I can agree with the topics of recruitment and retention, especially with regards to the out-of-school youth. How to find them, what to, how to recruit them, and of course, whether they're out of school or in school students, the retention part is extremely important as well. So any strategies and successes around that would be really interesting to talk about.
Excellent. Okay. Let me watch the time. You know, again, I think we have accomplished several things today. We wanted to introduce the possibility of creating this learning committee, which we propose could meet every other month. Ideally, this could be something opened up to some of the DEI states, obviously the four RSA-funded projects, and the two ODEP projects, Syracuse, and then the second one, we hope to have join us from Tennessee. And each time pick, you know, a core topic to focus on for the next call. We can look at creating the a web presence and look to share materials. And we're also open to just hearing from you in terms of, are there additional people or projects you think that maybe might want to be a part of this? And you can send any of your thoughts about any of this to Mira at mmodula@syr.edu. We'll be interested to hear. We'll touch base with the RSA-funded projects, as was mentioned. You've got your first call on March 1st. We're also going to try to work through ODEP and ETA and RSA, the funders, to see how do they feel? Are they comfortable with this sort of mega cross-agency community of practice that could focus on career pathways for youth and young adults? And we'll get more feedback from them as well. Mira, is there anything else you want to add?
No, I think you've covered it. Like you said, we would just love to hear more about others that may be interested. We can do the outreach. You know, I think it's, I like this core group that has come together that's focused around pathways to careers, but just want to highlight that I think broadly speaking, even if elements of our models were adopted by institutions around the country, that would be a wonderful outcome for students with disabilities everywhere. So progress doesn't have to be about getting a large injection of funding and doing a big demonstration project. Our colleagues that aren't funded across our states or in neighboring states may be great to participate and just make whatever incremental changes they can by learning about what we're doing. So please include them in your thoughts when coming up with folks to recommend.
Great. Well, I think I'll call it to a close now, but appreciate everyone who joined today. I hope we've given everyone lots of things to think about. We'll definitely touch base with the RSA-funded projects post-March 1, and we are definitely going to talk with ETA, RSA, and ODEP to see from that level, hopefully they feel comfortable about this cross-agency you know, rather than do three separate siloed efforts, try to bring this together. And we will focus on recruitment and retention next time and come up with some dates. But thank you for joining today, and we look forward to continuing the discussion. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you.